like to hurt people.
Okay, now I want a foot fight. You understand? I want a fair fight and a foot fight. No biting, no hair pulling, and no hitting below the belt. And they got that strategy.
We're here.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Okay, in this segment, we're going to go over some of the other promotions and some of the things that have happened in professional wrestling on the shows themselves over the last few weeks. Lucha Underground episode 99 saw Dario Cueto announce that number 100 would feature his brother, the Monster Matanza, versus Rey Mysterio Jr. Later, Matanza would take on three members of the Rabbit Tribe in a very entertaining and fun match. Now, on that particular show, once again, we're talking about number 99. The match of the entire night was a great combination of hardcore and comedy with Joey Ryan and Cortez Kennedy. Now, both have storylines of being police sent to investigate Lucha Underground, with Joey Ryan turning bad. Yeah, Joey Ryan being a scuzz. Who'd have thought it, right? The match was for one of the medallions and had a policeman theme. Police cars were all over the place in the temple, police in riot gear, and of course they had donuts and coffee. Now, Ryan was his usual sleazy self. At one point, Ryan grabs a rubber glove and loops it up, and the crowd starts chanting, "Cavity Search." I laughed out loud at "Cavity Search." And then he grabs Cortez like he's a proctologist, and I started singing, "Getting to know you, getting to know all about you." And another great spot had Kennedy getting the upper hand by grabbing a cup of hot coffee, pouring it down the front of Joey Ryan's tights, and then he grabs a taser and tases him right, and as Juice would say,
"Wachobee,
Wachobee,
Wachobee,
Wachobee."
Matt Stryker says, "Ooh, the smell of burning hair." Kenny wins when he uses a mace on giant Joey Ryan. Wow, that was so much fun. Really, really fun match. The 100th episode of Lucha Underground saw a match with the Worldwide Underground, Johnny Mundo, PJ Black, and Talia, joined by Marty the Moth Martinez, taking on Sexy Star, Prince Puma, Cage, and Phoenix. A lot of wild action in that match, won by Mundo, who pinned Prince Puma. Now, Puma is going to be Johnny's opponent in the upcoming Ultima Lucha 3. Now, Marty then, after the match, turns his attention to Melissa Santos, who's the ring announcer who's had a little fling with, or he's had a thing for. She hasn't. And Melissa absolutely slaps the taste out of our friend Marty's mouth. It was fun. Now, next week on the show, on Lucha Underground, they're going to have a match with Marty the Moth and his sister, and that is Mariposa, taking on Phoenix and Melissa Santos. Now, moving to the WWE, SmackDown saw the feud of Shane McMahon and Kevin Owens advancing as Owens berated Shane O'Mac, saying his family would have been better if he had not survived the helicopter crash, including his wife and kids. Not a good thing to say. When he said Ken's, McMahon attacked and was pulled off by Daniel Bryant, who later in the show gets a call from Mr. McMahon, who tells him to suspend Shane McMahon. Now, Mr. McMahon showed up on SmackDown on the 12th, and he addressed Owens in the ring, set up a Shane O'Mac and KO inside Hell in the Cell match. Now, we've been talking that this has been a setup for a while. Owens said okay to the match and then asked Vince to give his word that he would not be fired if he was provoked and beat up a McMahon. Vince said yes. Mistake. Then he proceeded to headbutt the chairman and actually drew blood. I mean, you could actually see the little part on his head when the headbutt hit. It just started kind of oozing a little bit of blood. Then he kicked Vince and did a frog splash and a super kick. Stephanie comes out and she tries to assist her father. Should be interesting in the next couple of weeks how they set up Hell in the Cell with KO and Shane O'Mac. Now, the AJ Styles and Baron Corbin feud They're getting ready to collide for the U.S. title in the future. Corbin has also attacked AJ after the Phenomenal One had a great match with Ty Dillinger, the Perfect 10. The New Day, the new SmackDown Live Tag Team Champions, as they win the Sin City Street Fight over the Usos. Now, there's also word coming out today that Kofi Kingston might be having a little nagging leg injury. We'll have to see how that's going to help or hurt that situation. Now, I thought one of the great parts of Jinder Mahal, one of his best promos I think he's ever done, and it was all around Shinsuke Nakamura. Mahal gets into the ring with the Singh brothers, and they start cutting a promo, showing pictures of Shinsuke, how do I say this nicely, grimacing. And then he says, oh, that's what he looks like when he's constipated. Trying to squeeze one out, as we say. Then they had another picture of Nakamura where he was kind of grimacing a little bit. And this one is one that made me go, see, see, because this is what happened. It was Jinder. And he said, this is what Shinsuke looks like when he's trying to see what else he can steal from Michael Jackson. See? I told you he looked like a wannabe Michael Jackson. I gloat a little bit. Raw has had two fantastic main events in a row. The Fatal 4-Way with Strowman, Reigns, Joe, and Brock. Man, that was a fun match. What might be the match of the year. It was awesome. Then they also had the main event the next week of Strowman versus Big Show in a steel cage. Really good big man match. The Show did a couple of top rope spots. Strowman won when he slammed Show in the ring and then got the cover. And then Braun Strowman picks up the Big Show, picks him up, and takes him through that cage and knocks him down to the ground. There was a great spot there where the Show was helped off the arena floor, and the crowd starting yelling and screaming for him that he still has it. Now, after Raw went off the air, that was when all that happened. It looked like Big Show was really touched. Now, word has come that Big Show has had a minor hip surgery, and that's how they set up him being away from TV for a while. But the Show probably getting ready to wrap it up pretty soon. Also on Raw this past week, The Miz and Maryse announced that they are expecting a baby. Now, I'm not really sure if this is a work or what, but Enzo comes out, Enzo Amore, who is going to be on Miz TV. And then Miz gets upset that Enzo interrupted a personal moment and then cuts a promo talking about Enzo's backstage problems, which The Miz says he went through early in his career. Then Enzo starts cutting a promo on The Miz, accusing him of stealing all of his moves from people like Ric Flair and Seth Rollins. Pretty much a shoot there. Both of them have had those kind of problems and both those kind of charges over the last couple of years. Enzo, even during the match itself, by the way, both of them had the mic at one time or another talking to the crowd and just doing trash talk to the opponent. Enzo even questioned who the father is of the baby. And that's when the Miz attacked. Enzo won, but he got beat up pretty bad. Backstage, Neville, who is going to be Enzo's opponent, is seen kind of gloating a little bit over Enzo Amore. The setup for No Mercy is continuing at the Staples Center. Ambrose and Rollins versus Cesaro and Sheamus for the tag championship. And in the women's championship match, it'll be a fatal four-way with Emma, Sasha Banks, and Nia Jax. Now, they've also announced on Raw that Asuka is coming to Raw. She no longer is the NXT champion. She actually gave up that belt. She has a minor injury, and I think there will be a couple of weeks when she shows up. Finn Balor takes on Bray Wyatt in a one-on-one man-on-man match. Wyatt doesn't want him to have the demon paint on, which he says gives him special powers. Then we talked about Neville and Enzo for the Cruiserweight Championship. On Raw, it was Roman Reigns taking on Jason Jordan with Cena watching backstage. Of course, the week before, Cena took on Jason Jordan and barely beat him. Same thing with Roman Reigns. Reigns nails a spear for the win, then shakes Jordan's hand, and Cena comes out, and they both kind of cut some pretty strong promos on one another. At No Mercy, the main event will be Brock Lesnar versus Braun Strowman for the Universal title. They're setting up Braun as an unbeatable opponent, with him destroying the Big Show and Cena in consecutive weeks. Now, on the 13th, Heyman gets in there, Paul Heyman, and cuts a great promo, saying the odds are against his client, and Lesnar is actually facing a challenger that is bigger and more powerful than Brock. Braun comes to the ring. They go at it. Lesnar nails one of those German suplexes, but Strowman pops right back up and stares Lesnar down in a great spot. Ring of Honor is getting ready for their Death Before Dishonor matches in Las Vegas, September the 22nd. By the way, that is a Friday night, so Ring of Honor doing something different, trying to attract an audience to their pay-per-view instead of waiting until Sunday night. They're trying a Friday night gig in Las Vegas for Death Before Dishonor. Cody, the champion, will take on a New Japan wrestler named, I hope I get this name right, Marino Suzuki. He's an older type wrestler, hard nosed, should be a great matchup, because I just think Cody can wrestle any kind of match you want, whether it's scientific or whether you want it hard and you just want a lot of hard high spots. I think that's going to be a fun match to watch. TK O'Ryan is back after a severe broken leg in Las Vegas last year. He comes to the ring on a recent television event with the Kingdom. He has crutches on, walking boot, and later gets in the ring, takes off the boot, and attacks Jay Briscoe. At Death Before Dishonor, the Kingdom versus the Briscoe brothers and Bully Ray. That one might be a hoot. It might be a lot of fun. Kenny King, who is from Las Vegas, takes on Tejada for the TV title. And the greatest first-generation wrestler coming back to Las Vegas in Death Before Dishonor, it's going to be Jay Lethal. Man, I love me some Jay Lethal, taking on another one of my favorites, the last real man in wrestling, Mr. Silas. Yeah, I kind of like that. Silas Young. Going to be a great match. We'll see if the Beer City Bruiser gets involved. Chuck Taylor takes on Marty Scurll. And a little bit of ROH news. The ROH has new six-man champions, the Bullet Club. The Young Bucks and Hangman Adam Page beat the Boys and Dalton Castle for the belt. Backstage at that event, Cody attacks Dalton, calling him a novelty act. Kenny Omega signs with ROH. The Cleaner and Cody both in the Bullet Club. I see a future feud going on here. And let's get a little Impact news in here. Impact has a new X Division champion, Trevor Lee. He beat Sanjay Dutt in a classic called Falls Count Anywhere match. It was a lot of fun on Pop TV, and he got help from Caleb Connolly. They were both just wearing out Sanjay Dutt with trash cans, metal trash cans. Johnny Impact is the new number one contender for the belt, beating out Loki, the champion Eli Drake, or should I say Eli Drake.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
And Chris Adonis attack, setting up a match for the 21st on Pop TV. We'll be back with more of Turnbuckle Trash coming up.
That was on his feet, the Stray Cat. Is he ready? Let's go to the match, please.
I'd like to get old Hacksaw Jim Duggan's 2x4 and do a little work on you.
Tag me, please.
What do you call that, a flying springboard knee to the face?
Oh, that works.
All the fans here, it's just two guys rolling around in spandex together, so.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Memphis, Tennessee, the place. FedEx Forum. Highlight of the night. The roof wood just came off the place. John Cena, Roman Reigns, throwing out a promo. Well, I guess if you're John Cena, you taught Roman Reigns how to do a promo.
He schooled him, didn't he?
Intensity usually doesn't bark up a promo. I mean, at least you can say it's fake. You can see it's being played out. It's scripted. I mean, you have to go back all the way to 1993 to watch Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart actually cut an I hate you promo. Mm-hmm. I don't like the way you look. I don't like the way you sound. I think your work ethic just sucks. Mm-hmm. Both ways around. We haven't seen that kind of intensity since now. John Cena, Roman Reigns, 2 weeks ago at the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. Off the charts, Dave.
It was an incredible situation. It was unreal to see Roman come in. And he was doing okay. And by the way, we're going to be playing you parts of the last 2 weeks of Raw.
I can't wait for this.
But I want to preface this with saying, if you listen right towards the middle of our little segment with I edited some of the audio from this. You'll hear actually Roman forget what he was supposed to say. And it goes for several seconds. So I've kind of added in a little tick-tock of a clock. So you'll see how long it really is. But then Cena, he just tears into him not making a promo.
Absolutely. Let's break this down really quickly if we can. You and I.
Yeah.
Cena comes to the ring, calls Roman Reigns out. It's supposed to be a contract signing. Kurt Angle's sitting in the corner. And by the way, for Kurt Angle, this could not have worked out any better for him or for WWE. This was delicious. So Cena comes out, starts cutting a promo. Here comes Roman Reigns. Contract's going to be signed. Cena signs it, throws it to Reigns. Words start to explode.
Uh-huh.
Two things that stand out to me, and again, Dave's been so great about cutting this up, and you're going to hear the sound, and can't wait for you. Just to give you, look, if you're a smart wrestling fan, read between the freaking lines. Uh-huh. They don't like each other. And that's just not inside the ring. That's outside the ring, inside the back of the locker room. These guys don't like each other. You can hear it in their tone of voice. You can see it in their eyes. You can look at it when Roman forgets it. I mean, when Cena calls him out for forgetting it, Roman Reigns gives him that look of like, I'm going to freaking tear your head off right now.
Yeah.
When you watch him, and I talked to you about this maybe a couple days ago, but when you watch Roman Reigns flip over the table, it isn't just like, oh, let me just tip it over. It's I'm grabbing the table and I'm going to chuck it. I'm coming after you right now.
Yeah.
So good. The thing that stands out to me the most, though, is when Cena talks about when I was asked to go fight for the USA title, I was honored. You felt like it was a demotion. That set Roman Reigns' hair on fire.
Right.
And then for John Cena to come around and say, by the way, it's your fault that I'm here because you can't do your job. I don't even do it justice even quoting it. You just have to listen to the clips.
I think it's great for one thing because both of them, Cena and Reigns, have their fans and they have their detractors. Both of them get almost the exact amount of boos to cheers. Both of them are very polarizing to fans. But you know what? When you look at who makes the sales on merchandise, it is Roman Reigns and John Cena. You put business into this. They are both doing business. And now, with this great setup for No Mercy, I would imagine their t-shirt sales and hat sales and merchandise sales are going through the roof.
Sure, absolutely. And it's the last time we saw something this good, or I guess in regards of like Cena with a promo with intensity and passion about what he does, was with The Rock.
Right.
And that was great. This is just pure hatred, though.
Yeah.
I mean, really, from both sides, it's just pure hatred. Now, can it turn into a great match? We'll find out.
Yeah, No Mercy.
You know, yeah. Can they actually put it together and incorporate into a match where the fans are like, hey, that's what we wanted. From start to end, that's what we wanted. From your promos to your wrestling match, that's how it should be.
I think it's going to be a good match.
You think so?
I really do.
We hope so. And yeah,
I think Roman Reigns is underrated.
By the way, is John Cena right in his comments?
No. I don't think so. I think that part of it with Roman Reigns is he's been basically shoved down the throats of some of the fans, and they resent it. They want to be able to cheer for who they want to cheer for, and Roman as a face was kind of put on him.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, and you know, frankly, his promo work is not that good. I mean, he needs some work on his promo work, but I think his in-ring stuff, I mean, that drive-by he does apron, the Superman punch, I wish they would find something else for him, but the spear, but when he does that roar when he's in the corner, he takes punishment, he comes back. I mean, some of the matches with Braun Strowman were incredible.
Yeah.
So my personal opinion is that he is a little bit underrated, and I think it's going to be a kind of a fun match, and I think it's going to happen.
The next day after that Raw segment, Christian and Edge do a podcast.
Uh-huh.
And Edge talked about he felt like it was more fake. He thought it was a more written storyline, based on the fact that he knows that Edge feels like he personally knows that Roman Reigns is one of the hardest workers inside that ring.
Oh,
no one works harder than Roman Reigns, according to Edge, who's been around him. Now, I've never seen him, so I wouldn't know. But you'd have to trust Edge on that. So, but still, that doesn't take away from the fact that, look, two hard workers, two passionate guys about their job in a very competitive business, just don't like each other. So, of course, Cena's going to say something like that to get underneath Roman Reigns' skin. And, of course, Reigns is going to fire back to Cena to get underneath his skin. And like I said, we just hope it translates into a really good wrestling match, which, you, like you said, you feel like it will.
I think there was a certain segment of it that was more of a shoot. And I think some of it was, you know, was scripted, but I think quite a bit of it was a shoot. And
either that or I'm a mark. No.
Yeah.
I think they had an outline, and then that outline just got torn into shreds by the end of that promo.
Yeah.
And by the way, the winner of that promo, as we talked about before, Kurt Angle and the WWE.
Yeah.
They did. I mean, you watch when Cena calls out Reigns for his work ethic. Angle is just freaking in the corner of the ring, grinning ear to ear.
Yeah.
Because the crowd is just eating this up. So good. What are we doing next?
Why don't we go ahead and run this this segment, and we'll be right back with just final word from this. Okay, let's run the segment from Monday Night Raw from the last 2 weeks.
Roman Reigns has been the blue chip prospect that has been protected against anyone and everyone that steps in his path. And then there's me. And that is why I want to fight Roman Reigns, because I know that Roman Reigns don't want to fight me.
I don't want to fight you. That's what's in your head. And this is the fact. I don't care what you've done or what you plan to do. I've done something you'll never do. I retired The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Listen carefully, young man. I'm not The Undertaker. I'm not a battered veteran at the end of his career with a bad hip. I am the fastest, strongest, and hungriest that I have ever been in my entire life.
Y'all boo him because y'all want him to be a bad guy? They boo you because, first of all, you suck.
Hey, according to them, so does he, but that's okay. He won a gold medal.
Just shut up for a while. How about that? And second of all...
Go ahead, find it. Go ahead. I'll wait. It's called a promo, kid.
Shut your mouth,
John. If you
want
to be the big dog, you're going to have to learn how to do it. So go ahead. See you, fourth wall.
The reason why they boo you is because they see right through you. You're a phony. You're a yes man who can learn how to do anything or be anything. So if you wrap all that up, you're just a fake bitch. So now tell me this. Why would I want to lessen myself, my legacy, my bloodline to be the next John Cena when I can be the one and only Roman Reigns?
Absolutely love it, dude. You make this easy for me. Usually I gotta come out here and stay sharp. All I gotta do is come out here and let you talk. You see, you said a few weeks ago that I can spin anything. Well, John Cena can spin anything. No, it's not that I can spin anything. It's I challenge myself every day to try everything. And you feel as if you've already made it. And in this ring and in anywhere else in life, the second you think you made it is the beginning of the end. So, You are going to learn what real failure is all about, Roman Reigns.
And the fact of it is, you need WWE because, well, hell, he can't break into Hollywood, y'all. I'm serious, man. If you need help, I know a guy.
You know, sometimes when people push you over the line, you got to fight fire with fire. That's what I'm doing right now. I'm going to put it in terms that even you can understand. At No Mercy, consider me like a drug test, Holmes. You ain't getting past me.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Whew.
Wow. Ooh, it kind of gets chills up your spine,
baby. It really does. I mean, if it really doesn't, then you don't. If you don't get chills, you don't freaking get it.
Yeah.
You don't understand.
Exactly.
You don't understand wrestling, and you don't get the rivalry. You don't get the passion of these two wrestlers.
The passion is. Oh. I think that's a great word about how they went about the promos over the last couple weeks, and I'm looking forward to No Mercy. Really am.
It's going to be fun.
Yes, it is.
Coming up next, one of our favorites and one of our regulars, and I'm so glad. He is a diamond in the rough and a gem for our show. Chris Evans, my trash head, my favorite trash head, if you will,
yep,
gets to sit down with Dave Den, and they talk about Global Force, who is in a little bit of financial trouble. Dave, I can't wait for this interview. It's Dave Den, AJ Salvison, Zane Pearson. Coming up next, Chris Evans on Turnbuckle Trash.
It's Chris on the match. Match.
I'm lost for words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the match.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
One of our newest segments here on Turnbuckle Trash is none other than Chris on the Mat. Christopher Evans joins us. But you had contacted me earlier this week, and we've been kind of IMing back and forth about this situation with Global Force Wrestling. What have you been hearing, and what do you think about Global Force?
Well, from what I understand, Global Force is up for sale. They're having a lot of problems with Anthem. Anthem is going through a lot of their legal problems with the Hardy Boys, I can't pronounce the last name, whatever it is now.
Albatron,
yes. Sound like a mixed drink. I think what is going on, and now that Jeff Jarrett is wanting out of his own company for the second time, I don't know. From what I'm reading here, they are pulling a lot of TV. They're not paying half of their wrestlers, and they're just wanting out of the contract. And I believe that Global Force or TNA Impact or whatever it is now is going to go by the wayside, and whoever decides to pay who wants it, I've got an eerie feeling I probably know who will want to buy it, so... It'll either be Vince, or here's a new one that I figured. But what about Triple H?
Triple H himself?
Yeah, why not?
Do you think that the family would support him on that, Vince, and even his wife, Stephanie? You think they would support Triple H going out on his own to do this?
It would still be in the family no matter what, but... If he was to buy it, could you see the man turn the company around? I mean, he's doing it with NXT. He's doing it he's putting on better shows with NXT than they're doing with Raw or SmackDown or their pay-per-views.
He's done an excellent job with NXT. I got to admit that. There's also been word that Vince is interested, Titan Sports,
interested in the purchasing some of the Impact, the old TNA archives, the video packages, so they can put that on the WWE Network. Now, you got to think that who's in some of their biggest stars right now in the WWE. You have AJ Styles, you have Samoa Joe, Bobby Roode. These guys are huge now in the WWE, and they basically got their big push during the TNA days, even though they were struggling at the time. But that's when they became established stars. So wouldn't be surprised if Vince is involved in at least trying to get that library for some added stuff for the network.
Well, yeah, I believe he would do that. Like I said, I'm just kind of in shock that Global Force is going down the tubes this fast. I mean, Jeff Jarrett, I don't know what he's done and what's happened. So it has to be something more than what I've been reading about. It has to be more than a legal problem. It's got to be. I mean, you bring back Jim Cornette, a very good mind in wrestling, probably one of the top five managers of in the industry, to do as a consultant, but now you're saying that you want to sell the company. Okay. I don't get it. I thought Global Force was doing okay, but I guess their ratings and everything is just not happening for Anthem.
Yeah, Anthem Sports is the owner of Global Force, and Jarrett has been involved with the backstage. I was a little bit taken aback that they brought Jarrett back and started using the Global Force name, because when Jarrett left, when he had that split with Dixie Carter, and he formed Global Force, he made this big deal about Global Force Wrestling, and it went absolutely, as far as I'm concerned, nowhere. So
That's true.
I thought that the Global Force name was already tainted. So when they decided to go away from TNA Impact to Global Force, I personally was a little bit shocked about that. I've often said they needed to, in my kind of industry, we call it blowing it up. We say you take the product, you rebrand it, you blow it up, you do everything different. And I thought that the Global Force name was a little bit tainted. I wish they would have done something else, but I don't know what's going on with Jarrett. I have no clue whether he got in over his head or there's some creative differences behind the scenes with he and Pritchard and the people from Anthem Sports. It's a real mess.
Well, you can honestly say this with me. He's not like his daddy when his father took over Memphis.
Yeah.
I mean, Jerry Jarrett built Memphis back up. Jeff Jarrett, he's tearing wrestling down brick by brick. He just needs to stop. I mean, Global Force, when they started together with TNA, then they merged the two companies and they had their two belts. I knew it was going to be bad from the start when they did that. So if it does happen, who buys it? If not, does it? I mean, they're not paying half their wrestlers, and some of them are, I mean, they've got some high dollar wrestlers right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like it says here, their first legal action was Billy Corgan when he was trying to sue him. Oh. And now it's the Hardys.
Yeah, the Hardys.
The broken theme. That's what's really hurting them right now, because they're still fighting that as we speak.
Yeah, the broken gimmick with the Hardys has been a real legal issue. I thought they had this thing with Corgan all put to bed, but evidently Corrigan's name has been coming up as possible suitor and a possible buyer once again for Impact Wrestling. I know that Corrigan purchased the rights for the NWA, which is more now just a bunch of little regionals. He did the video rights for that, not necessarily just basically the NWA name. If Corrigan comes back and says, we're just going to call this the National Wrestling Alliance and kind of build off that good name that the NWA had back when the territories were going on, do you think that would work to kind of save the promotion itself?
Yes, I believe that if they went back to the NWA like they did before when it was still when it was called TNA, it was TNA NWA.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I believe it would work. I mean, the NWA is always a good name. It's synonymous with champions. And, yeah, that's what they need to do. It would be good to have it and get rid of the name that they have now. Like you said, you didn't like Global Force. You thought it was tainted. And I don't like TNA, the name of it. I thought it was kind of dumb. But, yeah, NWA would be good. I'd like to see an old system come back into the limelight. And if Billy takes over, maybe he can get some money started. But it's hard to do when you have a big, giant wrestling company that just owns almost everything that is in professional wrestling. And I know it's hard for them. That's why TNA is just rock bottom right now.
Now, there's another name that has come up as a possible purchaser of the Impact and Global Force brand, and that is Sinclair Broadcasting. Do you know much about Sinclair?
Sinclair Broadcasting does the Ring of Honor.
Now, that interests me. That would really interest me because Ring of Honor has been doing some really good things. And they get crowds at some of their house shows. And I think one of the big things that you look at Ring of Honor, now this is just my opinion, when they go to a house show, they're not trying to sell out an arena of 20,000 people. They're going someplace where 1,000 to 2,000 people makes the place look packed. And I think that's a business model that could work if you're going to be taking the product on the road. What do you think?
Oh yes. Ring of Honor, they make their production and everything looks very well. Unlike the other company where you see a pay-per-view and there's hardly anybody in the seats. Ring of Honor, they'll have their producing is to where they have everybody almost all together to where you think that arena is completely packed. It may not be, but it looks that way. With TNA, now you can see empty seats. And it's just, I like Ring of Honor's action a lot better than anybody's that I've seen. It reminds me of New Japan with those two guys together. They got some real good wrestlers, the Briscoe brothers, Jay Lethal, and they've gone from a small-time company to, I mean, their name is pretty big right now between WWE, between me, it's WWE, Ring of Honor, and New Japan, and then TNA. Those are the three.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And then when you talk about the Ring of Honor and Sinclair Broadcasting, that might be the only company that has the financial backing that could go against Vince and the WWE.
Yeah.
Not saying that they'll overtake them. I don't think anybody's ever going to overtake the WWE, but they might be able to give them a little bit more of a battle. What do you think?
Yes, I believe Sinclair Broadcasting is the only one that could probably save TNA. They've got the money to do it. If it happens, I think it would be a good merger, and hopefully it will. I mean, we need to see another organization come in and bring us some new talent and bring some new wrestling in, not just the same old matches every day. And I think Sinclair Broadcasting will put in a bid, and hopefully they do win it. And if it's a new light for TNA, I hope it happens. I really do. It's sad to see a company just going by the wayside, and every other year they're up for sale.
Yeah, I hope it does work. That hurts business altogether.
It hurt the business the first time, and after the first time it happened, it just went downhill from there.
Now,
there's no saving.
Yeah, another thing that makes me wonder a little bit about what's going on with Global Force is their deal with Pop TV. Pop TV, come on. They don't have a lot of cable coverage. And then, Pop TV. I mean, it's just not that good. But I think where they went wrong was when they went off of Spike TV, when TNA moved to Destination America. Now, Zane and I have talked about this a couple of times. on the podcast. But Spike TV was giving them a little bit of legitimacy. And then Dixie Carter, in her infinite wisdom, gets this deal with Destination America, which was part of the Discovery Channel. And Destination America just put the screws to them, never gave them a good time, never really promoted them, moved them around all the time. I think that's the main thing that I've seen what hurt TNA more than anything. And they made some bad decisions over the years. And I would personally say when they brought in Hulk Hogan was a bad decision, but that's not me. I know they got a lot of publicity out of that, but I thought the product went downhill at that time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Big time.
But, you know, they've just been snake bitten, so maybe it's time to just have somebody else come in, buy the product, shut it down for a couple of months, and rebrand it, make it either part of, like we've talked about, the NWA, make it part of Ring of Honor, and really expand their product base. It's just not a good situation.
No, after when they went to Pop TV reminds me of PBS. Nobody watches it. It's late night. And when they went to Destination America, the funny thing about Destination America was they didn't tell TNA when they were going to cancel the show. They just put it off and gave Dixie an email, and that was it.
Yeah.
There was no and Dixie didn't even tell the wrestlers that this was going to happen.
Yeah.
It was hopefully, if Billy has it, it'll go back to the NWA. If not, please, Ring of Honor, pick them up. I mean, it would be good to do, and I think that Ring of Honor could do more with TNA than anybody could.
Yeah,
I really hope.
That was. I'm hoping that they can get this all worked out over the next couple of months. I hate to see talented people. I mean, Eli Drake is one of my favorites. I would say he's probably, if I wanted to say outside the WWE, he's got to be in my top five of wrestlers outside of the WWE that I just enjoy watching. Of course, now he is the champion. They've made some moves, bringing in Johnny, they call him Johnny Impact now, which I think is a stupid name.
Yeah.
And his fiance, and Taya's there now. She made her debut last night on the broadcast in the women's division. But really, is it a sinking ship? Tell me what you really think.
Well, as soon as they brought in Johnny Impact, or whatever his name is now, it's a sinking ship because they're bringing in these AAA wrestlers that are pretty good, but they're bringing them in to try to save a company that just can't be saved anymore. And, I mean, I like Eli Drake, good wrestler. Should they put the belt on him? Yeah, he deserves it. But it's not going to do anything for business. Okay, you did that. This company is just lost right now. Like you just said, it was snake bit. So there's nothing that really is going to be able to help this company. It's over. I just don't understand why Jeff Jarrett, like we talked before, wants out that bad. I mean, if the owner of the company wants out that bad, then you know good and well it is a ship that you cannot save, and it's over with unless somebody with deep pockets says, here, I'll take it. I don't know. I'm kind of wondering who wants the company. They're saying that there was another wrestler that wanted to buy it, but he backed out. Hmm. I was hoping it'd be Matt and Jeff. No, that would be interesting. That would have been interesting.
Yeah, no. That would be really interesting.
Can we have another deletion? Yes.
Oh,
no.
Man. I got to tell you, I thought about you watching SmackDown this past because Bobby Roode, the glorious one, and I just love his entrance, by the way, the glorious
perfect
one. Yeah, they had this little package there, and he's kind of sitting there, and he says something that you've said all the time with his name. He's box office, and it made me think of you, the glorious one, Bobby Roode. So, well, Chris, how's New Japan going?
They're having a, I think it's a Destination of Destruction going on. They're a little, it's like a pay-per-view for them. I haven't really been watching that much. I saw a little bit on YouTube last night. Some of the wrestlers don't know their names that well, except for like Kenny. But Kenny is out with a knee injury.
Oh, that's a shame.
And he also signed a new deal with Ring of Honor as well.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, he's out for at least 6 weeks with a knee injury. It was pretty gruesome how it happened when I saw it. But yeah, they're doing pretty well right now with their little pay-per-view. I wasn't able to really watch some of it, but it was good. Some of the matches were really good. But hopefully I can watch a little bit more tonight before I go to work.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try. We'll try.
Well, that's I think one of the things that is good and bad in the industry right now is how much product is really out there. A lot of independents putting out great product, but Vince's, the WWE is just a monster, and they're just kind of sapping away a lot of inventory and a lot of money that could be going to some of the smaller promotions to be able to keep them going. And that was one of the things I worried about during the era when Vince was taking over and getting rid of the territories. Where is that new talent going to be coming from? Where's that proving ground? Right now, they find somebody who's talented, they bring them into NXT, keep them there for a while, and then they bring them up to the roster. I don't know if that's the best thing for the industry as a whole, but it's still, bringing up people and training them. And I'll say this, training them properly, which is a big deal too, because there's some things that go on in the wrestling industry where people aren't being trained properly and injuries do occur. But you get the YouTube out there, you get the streaming services for some of the smaller promotions. Championship Wrestling from Hollywood is now going to be featured on the U2America a cable channel, but it's not YouTube, U2, and they're getting a little bit more product on there. So, it's a smaller cable channel, but it's out there. So if you can just take your time to find a promotion, not necessarily telling people to go away from WWE, but take some time to find some of the smaller promotions, some of the New Japans, the Lucha Underground, which I just love Lucha Underground, maybe the Impacts, or maybe Championship Wrestling from Hollywood. The Destination people in New Mexico that our friend the MK Bandit's involved with, the House of Hardcore, which MK has also been involved with. There's a lot of good product out there outside of the WWE. They just don't get the publicity, and they just don't get the money.
No, they don't get the money at all. There is one wrestler at the one that you watch for Lucha. I wouldn't mind seeing him with NXT, and that's Marty the Moth.
Marty the Moth.
Would love to see Marty. I finally got to watch one of his matches. And boy, he has improved a lot.
Yes.
He is excellent. From going from Tough Enough to this, I mean, he's really, I'm impressed with him. I would love to see him with NXT. And you are correct. These lower AAAs, all these guys that are fighting and scratching and clawing to get to the top, they don't have the money, and it's the big wigs that are putting these wrestlers down. If they would all band together and just try to do something, I think that it would be good for the industry. But after the fall of WCW and Vince Senior taking over all the junior, taking all over the territories, buying out every one of them, that was the fall of professional wrestling after that started.
Yeah,
buying everybody.
Yeah, I think they can, come back a little bit. There's some niches out there that need to be filled. The hardcore wrestlers with the House of Hardcore. Lucha Underground is kind of filling that void a little bit, too, with the hardcore fans, because Vince is so worried because he's corporate now. He's worried about offending advertisers, which, hey, it's money. You got to do what, you know, puts money in the bank. And I think it still can be, you know, a very viable industry. But, Chris, it has been such a joy to talk to you. I love being able to talk to you about professional wrestling. You're very passionate about it and pretty knowledgeable, too. I really appreciate that.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate being on the podcast. It's a lot of fun. I enjoy it every time we do it.
All right. There's Chris on the mat on Turnbuckle Trash.
Chris is one of my favorite people. Great stuff again from Chris and you, Dave. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Coming up next, let's get mushy. Let's get friendly. It's John Cena got a surprise. I guess a return, if you will, of surprises from a wonderful, wonderful idea from some people. We'll get into that. Also, Ric Flair, an update on Ric Flair and how he's doing, the legend, Nature Boy himself.
Woo!
We'll get back into it next. Dave Denton, Zane Pearson, Ajay Salveson, you're listening to Turnbuckle Trash.
Good job. Turnbuckle Trash fans, you can stay in the ring with us by following us on Facebook and clicking that like button on our Facebook page, Turnbuckle Trash. Or you can follow us on Twitter, at Turnbuckle Trash. And in case you got any comments, suggestions, or questions, you can email us at wpfpod@gmail.com. Again, that's wpfpod@gmail.com.